It's that time again. We're joined in the studio by our favorite Christmas elf, my former choir director from John F. Kennedy High School in Plainview, Long Island, Mr. Cohen, Mr. Christmas, they call him. Ron Cohen is here to take us through some selections as we do every year. Hi, Mr. Cohen.
Hi, Robin. It's so cool to be here with you.
So great to have you. In past years, we've listened to the sacred, you know, O Come, Emmanuel. We deconstructed A Mall and the Night Visitors. We'll put all of that at here.
Thank you.
We'll put all that at herenow.org. But this year, you wanted secular music. Why?
I think what's very interesting and very relevant, Robin, is that the message is so universal. Fellowship, brotherhood, being kind to other people. I'm reminded of a quote by Norman Vincent Peale where he says, "Christmas waves a magic wand over the world, and behold, everything is softer and more beautiful." Mm. So I'm thinking to myself, why not do what we call a secular Christmas, of course, which is going to be more non-religious, less sacred, but more universal.
Well, and sacred to a lot of people. I'm reminded that one of your selections, we'll get to it, but White Christmas, written by Irving Berlin, and his daughter said, you know, he came from Russia. He was Jewish. He didn't even know about Christmas. To him, White Christmas was about America. So what have you got to start us off with?
I thought we would start off with It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go.
I want to look back to the idea of when we had early television in black and white with Perry Como. Everybody watched it every Wednesday night. And we couldn't wait for the Christmas show. That song, which I believe was written around 1951, but do you know who wrote it?
Well, I only do because you told me. Meredith Wilson.
Meredith Wilson, who, da-da-da-dum-bum-bum. We think of the Music Man, you know? And I was kind of shocked to find out this guy wrote this, and it's so cool.
Well, let's listen to a little more.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go.
Now there's a tree in the Grand Hotel,
one in the park as well,
the sturdy kind that doesn't mind the snow.
Here's another tidbit, Mr. Cohen, I found. There are people in Yarmouth, Nova Scotia, who believe that Wilson wrote the song while staying in the Grand Hotel in Yarmouth, because there's that lyric, a tree in the Grand Hotel, one in the park as well, and there's the park right across the street from the hotel. It's
another
so
thing,
cool.
A real quick point, is that Perry Como recorded it with the Fontaine sisters. Mm-hmm. It's a very big hit for him, and it's very cool.
Okay. So you have Perry Como. We're going to go to your next selection, and interesting, it became the next host of the show that everybody watched.
How great is this? Because when Perry Como finally left after a glorious run, along came Andy Williams, and it was again on Wednesday nights. It was again the same thing, and then it came to Christmas. He had a Christmas show, and he recorded It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year.
It's the most wonderful time of the year, with the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer.
Now, want some interesting stuff about
this?
Number one, actually it's about scary ghost stories, but that's been in disuse and in disfavor, except for A Christmas Carol, which continues to flourish. Also, it's about hosting parties, sledding, kissing under the mistletoe.
Well, I read that this song was actually written by George Weil and Edward Polo, but George Weil in 1963 was the vocal director on the show. So this was just a fun song that he wrote for the show. As you said, had some goofy storylines. 30 years later, it was a standard.
Who could know?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Your next selection.
It's going to be the Christmas song, which is easily one of the most performed songs of all time.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose.
Written by Bob Wells and Mel Torme. Now, Mel Torme, to me, is underrated. Mm-hmm. I think he's up there.
As a singer.
This man could sing a ballad, and in my humble opinion, was a talent of the stature, in my opinion, of a Frank Sinatra.
Okay.
When he wrote the song, it was on a blistering, hot day in the summer, and he just couldn't take the heat, so he wanted to write something that would make him feel cool.
Cool. And combined with Bob Wells, I mean, the story that I read, he saw a pad at Bob Wells' house, and Bob Wells had written down, Four lines, chestnuts roasting, Jack Frost nipping, Yuletide carols, folks dressed up like Eskimos. Again, they were just trying to stay cool, and in 40 minutes they had a song.
They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly.
And so one of the things about these songs that we're playing is they are associated with iconic singers. And the one that's most associated with this one that I love is Nat King Cole.
Yeah. What's the next pick?
I'm going to do Baby, It's Cold Outside. And this was written by Frank Lessa, who's famous for Guys and Dolls. Mm-hmm. I'm the most happy fella. He wrote that too, that old score. So in 1949, my mom took me to see this film called Neptune's Daughter, and I got a crush on Esther Williams because she was this beautiful swimmer, mm-hmm. and she came out of the water and... The wet Esther Williams sang with Ricardo Montalban.
I really can't stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
Baby, it's cold outside.
So there's the version by Ricardo Montalban and Esther Williams. There was also another one from Red Skelton and Betty Garrett in that film Neptune's Daughter. But the backstory here, apparently Frank Lesser wrote this and sang it with his wife Lynn Garland as a way of telling guests that the evening was over when they had big parties. And who knew? It became this huge song. And she got very upset, the wife, because he sold it to MGM. And at the time, she said, I felt as betrayed as if I'd caught him in bed with another woman. But he sold their song to MGM, and it appears in the film.
Do you know what else?
What?
It was recorded by Doris Day, Bing Crosby, Ella Fitzgerald, and Louis Jordan. But the one I really would like to hear, have the folks listen to, is the one by Michael Bublé and Idina Menzel, who played the Green Witch in Wicked.
I simply must go.
Baby, it's cold outside.
The answer is no.
But baby, it's cold outside.
The welcome has been.
How lucky that you
so
dropped in.
Nice and warm.
Okay, now we're coming to the one that I mentioned when we started. White Christmas, Bing Crosby, written by Irving Berlin.
It has become the best-selling single of all time, Robin. Selling over 100 million singles.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow.
By the way, Irving Berlin, when he wrote this, he called the secretary and said, grab your pen and take down this song. I just wrote the best song I've ever written. Heck, I just wrote the best song anybody's ever written. And as you say, he was right. It was the most recorded.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Judy Garland.
Now, when I was a little boy, my mom took me to see Meet Me in St. Louis. I cannot watch that film to this day without getting verklempt.
Okay.
Because it's about everything that I love, family, and they didn't, and had little Margaret O'Brien. And then, of course, my mother tells me, you were so little, and the first song you ever sang was, clang, clang, clang went the trolley, ding, ding, ding went the bells. Well, here's the deal. The family's husband, who's such a great family, he tells them he thinks it's going to be great. He wants to move to New York for another big job, and they are hysterically unhappy. And little Margaret O'Brien goes to the window.
Judy Garland's sister in the movie.
And she's trying not to cry, and Judy Garland tried to make her feel better about all this, and they're all upset. She sings, have yourself a merry little Christmas. And there's no one that I went to the audience that wasn't crying.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light.
Well, as our smackdown of trivia continues, this was written by Hugh Martin and Ralph Blaine. The first lyrics were, "Have yourself a merry little Christmas. It may be your last." They were very depressing. And so Judy Garland and Vincent Minnelli insisted that they be changed.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay.
Wouldn't it be cool if we could bottle the Christmas spirit into jars full of love, kindness, courtesy, mutual respect, and then after Christmas and New Year's are over and we get back to quote-unquote normal, we open the jars and release it every single day out to the world that maybe they could try to behave that way when it's not Christmas?
Well, you could have jars or you could have songs, which do somewhat the same thing. That's Ron Cohen, Mr. Cohen, Mr. Christmas, my former choir director at John F. Kennedy High School on Long Island, and our regular visitor every Christmas to play some music this year, secular songs that have the spirit. Mr. Cohen, thank you so much as always.
You cannot believe how much I love to be with you.
If the fates allow.